Starting tomorrow, I'm no longer just a shipping clerk. I'm chairman of the board.
And it's all because of...
Freaking.com.
Recording is on.
Hi, Steven. Ridley here.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Hopefully some people are going to come today. Last week's meeting was awesome.
Oh, thanks. Of course, you know, it was technically not, it wasn't entirely an independence meeting. We invited the General Liberty community at 1:30.
Yeah, but it was a great meeting. I'm really glad you guys did it.
It was a nice turnout. This one will be a lot smaller.
Yeah, the only reason I'm totally tried to make time for this one today is because it is that last one before Thursday.
Yeah, and I think Marcus from CalExit will be joining us today, or at least he's planning to.
Really? Okay, who invited him?
I did, at Mike Sylvia's request.
Fantastic. Okay, is Mike going to be here today?
I doubt it. He doesn't usually attend these. He attended the early ones when we were still, you know, setting the tone. But yeah, there he is. Yeah, I was just telling him that you might be here. So welcome, Marcus.
Oh, my God. I'm going to shoot Marcus. Marcus, how you doing, man? Long time.
Rabbi.
How are you? I'm hurrying up to make your 2 o'clock meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to talk about where we're going, what's going on, and I was asking Dave if this was going to be recorded because I wanted to document where we're going and what we're doing, so it's really
fantastic.
Awesome.
Fantastic. I'm so glad to see you. You didn't answer my last email, so.
I didn't? Oh,
That's okay. And you got a nice hat.
You know, I'm doing a lot of personal development at this time because I kind of got kicked really hard, so it's. I apologize. I'm still getting back on that horse.
You're a brother. But no, I'm really glad you're here because it puts you back, you know, into this map. And this is the important map this week.
This is what I do. I'm like the best in America at covering secession. And I realized that it was silly for me to walk away from that. I have years of experience.
100%. Yeah. And I want to get the three of us together to do something, you know, or actually Alu, you and Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alu works on Sundays, but.
Dave, let me have 2 minutes to, as the rabbi says, do a quick change, and I'll be right back.
Oh, you look great.
Okay.
All right. I want to look pro. This is streets.
So. Well, dude, you look younger every time I see you. What's going on, man? You taking peptides or something?
I'm in the best shape of my life at age 44 than I've ever been. I was doing intermittent fasting to drop weight, and then apparently if you exercise a lot but you don't give your body proper nutrition, it limits the amount of health you can do. So at the gym, they were like, oh, you don't even eat till 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Like, that's not good. So I had one of the gym trainers, she really kicked my ass and was like, bro, you're not doing it right. Let me tell you how to do it. And so I started doing the nutrient shakes and stuff. And I lost 2% body fat and put on like 15 pounds more muscle just doing stuff. So best shape that I am. You can check out hashtag Latin Thor. That's the new one I'm promoting.
Latin Thor, huh? All right.
Latin Thor. I'm a Marvel fan, right? And I'm a huge comic book dork. So if I was a robotic engineer, it'd be Latin Iron Man, because that's my real favorite out of all the Marvel characters, because Tony Stark was awesome. Never really super into Batman, more into Tony Stark and Iron Man, but I'm not an engineer. But I can lift weights, so I went with Thor. But I really want to go with Iron Man. 2 minutes, I'll be right back.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Hey, good, thank you.
Well, I have some news that may be of interest. Related to the independence bill, but actually looking past. I'm not sure I'm actually looking back. I'm actually maybe looking before the January 20th hearing. There's something else coming up, which is related to the independence amendment. It's the retaliatory bill. And according to gencourt.state.nh.us, this is coming up for hearing on January 19th, a day before the independence, the New Hampshire independence hearing. And for those just joining, or for those listening, this is sort of the New Hampshire independence podcast where we discuss our legislation, et cetera, to try and move New Hampshire independence forward. So there is a bill, prime sponsor, Mr. Marsh. I do not know his, it doesn't list his first name. He is a defector from the Republican Party who fled to the Democrat Party and has been doing some authoritarian stuff. And I guess this thing, this bill, House Bill 1077, is designed to outlaw or to prevent people like you and me, like all of us on this call, from being allowed to hold a state office in New Hampshire, at least in the House and Senate. It bans people if the House sort of like determines that they have allegedly committed rebellion or insurrection, then they're forbidden from being in the House. Of course, it depends whether you would really think of this as rebellion or insurrection, which maybe it isn't. But it's designed to try and keep secessionists out of the House. That's how it's being portrayed.
I guess so. If Chris DiNuno were to say he believes in Article 10 of your Constitution, that means he couldn't run for Senate.
I don't think so. If you just say you believe in it, I'm not sure that if you believe, well, maybe it does. I don't know. I've got the text in front of me here, but it's hard to parse it because the text is very confusing. But it does add the following text to existing law. Quote, well, it says you're not, well, how do I put this? It says you're not allowed to be on the, be in the, be, to be in certain office. This is so complicated. I can't even quote it properly. It bans someone if he is determined by the general court to have engaged in insurrection or rebellion or given aid or comfort to the enemies of the state in violation of RSA 655:1-A. This shall be determined by the House of Representatives in the case of a member of the House of Representatives and by the Senate in the case of a member of the Senate, unquote.
Right, but it's based on the 14th Amendment that people involved in insurrection can't run for office.
Correct.
Right, so in other words, if you believe that Article 10 of your Constitution has meaning, then you can't possibly believe that you can't hold office if you're an insurrectionist.
Yeah, well, I mean, imagine that, the government, like, trying to stop people from stopping the government.
Which would be okay if it weren't in your Constitution. That's the way I see
it. Now, the bad news is that this has 10 co-sponsors, so they have outnumbered our bill, which has either 7 or 9 co-sponsors, depending on how you count it. But the good news is that even if it were to pass, it sounds like it would be pretty difficult to enforce because you have to get the whole House voting to try and expel someone, and that would just draw new attention to independence. So,
well, plus it's probably would be ruled unconstitutional if it was challenged. And secondly, rebellion and insurrection generally involve violence, and we are a peaceful movement.
Since they're specifically using this against secessionists, aren't they? So I don't think that would work.
Welcome, Mike Sylvia. I was just telling Stephen when he asked about you that you probably wouldn't be joining us, but you are. It's great to see you.
I figured that we are coming up on our hearing, so be great to jump in. And I see Marcus is in here from California, bringing his depth of knowledge, so that's great. The long list on that bill, all Democrats except this one, Jim Allard, who is marginally Republican. So I guess it's bipartisan that way.
Oh, Mike, you're here. Nice.
Hi, Marcus.
Good to see you again, sir.
Good to see you again.
And the rabbi's here and Dave's here. Damn. Wow. We're really getting going today. Well, I had a coffee.
Yep. So I don't have a whole lot of time to spend on here today, but I'm certainly interested to see how we're looking for. We're going to have the press conference at 3 o'clock at the legislative office building. And I guess Alu is working on that. He's going to be speaking. I've got to check with some of the other co-sponsors to see if we've got anyone else that wants to talk. A little bit of phone tag back and forth so far, but so we'll have a quick press conference. There's a rally at 2 o'clock, as I understand, and see what kind of interest we have. Certainly some. It was nice to see. I think it was Thursday at the legislative office building. It kind of looked like olden days, pre 2020. The election law had a hearing on some bills, and they had a full hallway up in up on the third floor of the legislative office building, and they're shoulder to shoulder, probably more than 100 people, and you know, just having a super spreader event in all its glory. So when I heard about that, I was on the second floor. I said, I got to go up and go get myself a little bit of everything, and went to the smorgasbord of diseases and walked through the crowd. And
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I believe me, I'm not.
Because if you have the vaccine, you still transmit. Yeah. And if you don't have the vaccine, you still transmit. And here in California, where we're like, how dare you not do this and not do that and not follow this? Guess what they just did in California? They issued a memo statewide saying, if you're a nurse and you have COVID, but you can stand, come on back to the hospital and come to work. So they are actively telling nurses with COVID to come into the hospital where people are sick and just keep working. So it don't matter, bro. Do whatever.
Yeah. We're all going to get it. We're all going to get it. Carry on.
They told nurses who were sick with COVID come back to the hospital in California yesterday.
Yep. So, and then we have the CMS that's going to say that all the nursing home nurses have to get jabbed. And this is why the hospitals are full up, because they have no beds. They have no nurses. They have nowhere to send the people who are sick. The nursing homes are all running at like 70% occupancy because they don't have nurses. So this is we're looking at the building 7 of healthcare.
Nice.
It's going down. Well put.
Guys, well put. I'm going to show for Liberty Block. We just did an extra podcast episode that literally we just finished because we have a great lawyer on the podcast talking about the OSHA and the CMS thing, and I'll get it up as soon as I can, but a really good discussion on how meaningless the victory was and how horrible the defeat was, et cetera, et cetera. But we have a really smart guy. Mike, so what is the setup for this press conference? I know Al was speaking, and I'm going to help him work on text and stuff. Who is expected to be there from the press, and who else is speaking?
Well, I guess we never know, and certainly I'll be leading things off. Alu's knows this stuff in depth, so he knows, I guess, who else would be interested in speaking. If we have any of the other co-sponsors, they might drop a few words. It's a little bit unsettled yet, but we'll come up with a script and make sure everybody has their part. And whatever press shows up.
I guess we'll. Any chance of out-of-state people, or you guys have no way of knowing?
I'm sorry, start that again.
With national news networks, any chance of them covering this?
So I have a press release list that I've developed over a decade of opt-ins. So there are only people on my list that actually want to receive emails from me. So it's a very active list as far as they're likely to open the email that I send. And so it's only about 40 or 50 names, but again, very active. And the AP is in there, as well as some of the Boston press. So, you know, they're going to get the release. I haven't started writing it yet. I plan on working on that today. Probably get it out by Monday. Give them, you know, plenty of time to plan for it. So they're going to get it. Whether or not they want to do anything with it, well, obviously that's up to them.
Who's it going to come from, Ian?
Free Keen.
Okay, now I'm just wondering, from my end, is there any utility to trying to get Marcus, who's generally very uncooperative, but in trying to get Marcus and possibly even Daniel Miller to do a joint thing to the press to make a big deal out of this?
Marcus seems to think that's a good idea.
If I may, Mike, with your permission, Rabbi, with your permission, I apologize for being less than as energetic as I have been over the last couple of years, a few months. We're going through a thing. But that doesn't change the fact that if you look at the trajectory, the fact is that they're only talking about national divorce more and more. So it was a fringe topic 2 years ago. We're going into, I was just looking at the news, like December, January, CNN, MSNBC went wild with this topic. It is more talked about than it has been in American history since 1860. Say what you will. You can hate it. You can love it. You can think it's going to happen. You cannot. But you can literally look at the amount of media mentions going back from 2 years ago to a year ago to now, and the trajectory is literally like a 45-degree angle. There is zero debate about that. Now, what that means, you can interpret it, but we have sitting members of Congress actively talking about this. We have New Hampshire, Mike, where you walked it through the proper channels to actually propose it. I mean, that is unique. I don't think that's happened in a long time. And then before then, Texas, even though I think it was through the political committees, it wasn't technically a lawmaking thing, but it was still through the political process, the former way. That shocked the media. So when the media sees people actually understand how to use the political process the correct way and propose these topics, and it's not written in crayon and saying we're going to get our guns and leave, they don't know how to process that.
Right. So I think it's going to be a good conversation if we have a good turnout. It's going to be hard to just dismiss it. Like I said, you know, if we can pack the halls and have the hearing moved over to Representative Saul, which is what happened with the election law stuff. And a lot of the same faces in that crowd, I'm sure, are going to be interested in this. You know, when they walk through to see who was there, Therese Grinnell, who has been supercharged by the whole COVID nonsense and the absolute tyranny of the executive council arrests, they're going to be interested. One of the things I guess I'll drop here because well, why not? Anyone that watched the last session of the House last a week ago Thursday, actually it was probably on the Wednesday, they had the redistricting bills, and they were almost tabled. And we're talking about a vote where the Speaker had to vote to tie the vote to deny the tabling motion. That was a move put forward by certain members to get the attention of the Speaker to investigate, throw a real investigation into the legislature on that arrest of the nine folks at the Executive Council meeting. And we missed by one vote. And I'm pretty sure that really was, you know, they thought that we were kidding. They understand that the Liberty folks have a little more clout now, a lot more clout now, and we're not playing political games. You know, that didn't succeed, didn't get us what we wanted, but it certainly was a serious wake-up call. We have to really do what we're supposed to be doing. Follow the Constitution. You know, it's about the rights of the people, and government is abusing those rights incredibly now. And we have to stop it now, or we'll look like Australia.
Ooh. Mike, I have a quick question for you. Have you been in touch with, or are you interested in being in touch with, Kyle Biederman from Texas?
I have not been in touch with him. I don't know. You know, I'm not not familiar.
He's the guy who put through that resolution for the referendum. Oh. Would you like to be in touch with him?
I certainly can, but I'll tell you, I've got my hands full with all the stuff that I'm doing at the moment. I've got, you know, not just the state house stuff, but I've got county stuff. I'm a chairman of the county delegation, and we have a little ski area operation that I'm trying to keep on the straight and narrow, and that's another challenge. But so, you know, bandwidth provided, I'll be happy to talk and learn. You know, these are people like Marcus that have been involved with this stuff for some time. So
I'm thinking the power of getting state legislators from two or three different states together would like dwarf what anybody else could do just in perception.
Yes.
Stephen, I'm happy to sit in for Mike to the sense that to the extent that he wants to delegate to me, this is Ridley, or we could find another state rep with more time, but that's probably hard to do. But you can certainly hook me up with Biederman if you want. But I've already reached out to the Texit folks, and although they have covered us, they've never responded to any of my contacts.
Yeah, they're a little hard to get to respond. That I know for sure, although Alu's had some success.
Let me just drop one bit of information. I don't know if it's been shared outside of New Hampshire, but we can certainly have people who are experienced with this sort of stuff write to the committee that's going to be hearing the bill and offer their words of wisdom if they care to. You don't have to be in state to lend your expertise. If you have a little time to put forward a little one pager, or it doesn't have to be huge. Supporting the idea, and particularly supporting the idea that this is an opportunity to put the question to the voters. It's not what, 400 members of the general court think about this. It's really a question of whether or not we want to allow the people their voice. And I think the real problem is that they're afraid of what they're going to hear. It is better than any polling out there. It is going to give them an idea of, where they're going wrong. It'll open the discussion, and how can government do better? Clearly DC is our problem, and it's we talk about the United States, and DC has divided us from the other states. Maybe we just need to be America, and each of the states, almost like the old Confederate states, the Articles of Confederation, just get back to working together. And if we need a wider national government to take care of it, like the way it's supposed to be, the United States is supposed to be, the central government is supposed to be taking care of international problems and problems between states. It's real simple, but we've strayed away from it.
I hope you mean the Articles of Confederation states as opposed to the Confederate states.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Sometimes the wrong words come out of the wrong time.
Yeah, before 1789, the United States was just the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
And I saw an interesting piece on the Granite Rock, one of the local blogs, news sites, in a comment where, you ask anybody where they're from, and they don't tell you America or the United States. They tell you what state they're from. I'm from Rhode Island. I grew up in Rhode Island, and that was my original country, so to speak. So remember that United States is a collection of individual nations as it originally started out.
I saw that article. That was one of the better articles I've seen on secession.
Could we share the link in the chat? If I may, I just wanted to say that Mike and the rabbi, now, and everybody, basically, now's the perfect time for this. Like, I forgot to plug in my laptop, so I got cut off. But basically, the trajectory, if you look at the topic of this covered in mainstream news, national divorce, or peaceful separation, or coming civil war, any of those things, and you can look at media mentions, basically, it's only going up at a 45-degree angle over the last 2 years. Mike, if you're able to do anything, the fact is that Marjorie Taylor Greene, say what you will about her, is a sitting Congress member and was actively talking to people about the idea of national divorce being okay. The system is incredibly attacking her for this reason. She's probably representing the will of her people. And if she actually starts going out there and talking to Georgians, what I think the system's afraid of is that most of her people are going to go, yeah, that's what we think. Marjorie's representing us. She's not crazy. Or if she is, we're all drinking the same Kool-Aid. So if you get, here's Georgia in the southern part, picture here's where you're at in the northern part of America, and here's another legislature having another conversation with another group of their public saying, we're interested. That's 2 points in a line, and then we're going to see the system really flip out because you're in another part of America, and you're nowhere near them, and you're not part of the Confederacy, and you're saying the same thing at roughly the same time. That's national media viral exposure.
Sorry, I'm surfing to see if I could find that article, but not having any luck yet.
Plus, any meetings between New Hampshire and Texas. Texas also has an ambassador. We've worked with them, and even virtually. Like, now's the time for us to be seen being talking with each other. The rabbi's totally right. These three movements coming together. And if we could ever meet Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think the idea is becoming normative. I saw an article, I think at Politico, where they were saying the same thing. It's moving from fringe to this is a normal thing we talk about. Whether or not you like the idea, it's going from no one ever talks about it to normative. And Politico magazine said that.
From fringe to binge. From fringe to binge.
It's our time now, brothers. Basically, it's our time. The media section has never been more willing to listen to this and with as much gravitas, even if they don't like it.
Isn't there supposed to be some kind of conference at the Liberty Forum coming up regarding secession? I believe Alu has mentioned that, but I don't. I've not heard anything else about it. Like, that would supposedly involve Texas and/or California.
So Texas says he's hoping to come. The last I heard, but depending on how his primary pans out, and he may not know about that till very close. Till March 4th, something about it may be a week later because of some lawsuit or something. And I'm hoping that Marcus can make it. Marcus?
That's the hope. Yes, that's the plan. We got really kicked pretty hard here. I mean, Lewis dropped a nuclear bomb on ourselves, and I'm picking up the pieces. The good news is that, you know, nobody really seems to believe what Lewis did or is saying. Like Lewis said, I'm the only leader now. And yes, California doesn't exist and no one cares about CalExit. And that's a lie. I've talked to the members. No one in California believes that. He's destroyed his reputation. And when I've talked to the other secession movements, everybody thinks he's crazy. So the guy has ruined his own reputation amongst all the secession movements in America and amongst the 160,000 people in California. Unfortunately, he has the communication channels and we're attempting to build back. We expect to be stabilized by the beginning of next month. The good news is that whatever Lewis said, no one's buying. None of the other independence movements are buying. They're contacting me. They're not contacting him. What I'm hearing from different groups is that they think he's crazy after the video he did where he attacked me. And the Californians in our movement are going, what is this guy talking about? He's just lost it. So the guy is viewed as kind of a lost cause and crazy. But we are rebuilding. He did a lot of damage, and he wanted to, and he was effective, but we're coming back. In fact, we're having a meeting here at 11, if you want to see our first
11 means two.
So for those listening, I guess, yeah, it's 2 p.m. is the sort of the start of events on January 20th with the Independence Amendment and its first hearing. But the 2 p.m. is the demonstration outside, followed by 3 p.m., I guess, at the first floor of the Legislative Office Building. I assume there will be where the news conference is. And then 3:30, the hearing is scheduled to begin, likely to be continued to the following some following date.
Question, is this thing going to be streamed, all of it?
I don't know. Ian, are you planning any technology?
I don't have the ability to do live streaming. Who was streaming?
Somebody was streaming.
Joa will probably be there, and he streams, so...
Yeah, if Joe is there, then it'll be live streamed. I'm going to be saving all my battery for the actual hearing, so I don't have any plan to... I might get a few clips or something of the actual rally, but I really want to get the hearing. That's
the hearing for sure will be streamed.
Hello, my name is Mark.
No, I don't do streaming. I only have like a, you know, semi-pro camera, so I will only be able to record it. It will not stream.
Mike, aren't all the hearings aren't online?
I don't know. That'd be a question for Mike.
Yeah, so now the hearings are all recorded or put on. I think they're on YouTube. They have rigged up the rooms with microphones all over the place, a couple of cameras. It's actually a pretty good setup considering what some of the stuff we've dealt with in the past. So it's the technology is actually working reasonably well.
Okay, so I mean, so it can be put out to people not only in New Hampshire, like Marcus's people, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yep. It will be available anyone on YouTube. I'm pretty sure that's where they stream them to.
I'll have to go look around and see if I can find where those things are. I presume each committee has its own channel or something. I wonder how that's organized.
Yeah, I think if you go to YouTube and look up, you know, New Hampshire State House or something like that, you'll have. In fact, there's probably a link on the General Court website. Let me see if I can find that. But that'll point to all the various streaming sources.
So it sounds like what may be the weak link in the chain in terms of documenting this is going to be, generally was speaking, what we're missing in a situation like this is a microphone that is right next to the person who is speaking. So if you can do that, if you can get a digital audio recorder, you know, right next to each person who is speaking, if possible, before the hearing, then that will be of great value.
During the hearing itself, there's a microphone. They have mics too. So, but if you're talking about prior to during the, like, I guess the rally and or the what the speech, I guess. Media, is it some sort of media rally that we're doing, I guess, or media camp?
A news conference and a demonstration. So there just needs to be a microphone. If anyone's speaking, there needs to be a microphone within 3 feet of their mouth.
I have a camera. I can probably try and bring, I have wireless mics too, I think. I can probably try and make that happen.
Yeah, what will happen is your wireless mic will fail when you need it to work. So the best thing is just a digital audio recorder right next to the person's mouth or chest.
If there's going to be speaking at the actual rally, we're going to need a PA system. I do have one. If needed, I can bring that.
Yeah, who is in charge of the rally?
No one.
I guess that's me.
Okay. So there are some folks that have a little more experience with that. Obviously, Therese Grinnell has been championing her cause. Marilyn Todd has also done a few. There's a lot of good folks. I don't have any experience running those things. It's out of my particular area of interest. But for the press conference, I suppose I can run a recorder from my phone just to get the audio of anyone at the podium.
I'll definitely be recording the press conference as well.
Okay.
And you guys can all feel free to send me any kind of media that you get at any recordings or whatnot to ridleyreport.com, and I can work on them. If I have just good audio of something, I can turn it into a sort of a podcast by editing out the quiet parts. Oh, I should have said that. You said it's ridleyreport@live.com would be where you'd email me if you have any media you want me to put on ridleyreport.com.
So something else planned for the rally. I've got, I'm going to be putting an order in for several hundred sheets of paper, which will have lyrics on it of the what is being proposed as a New Hampshire national anthem. It's an old song from the 1970s that I guess Meldrum Thompson, who's a former governor in New Hampshire, he wrote. It's called Live Free or Die, and it's very catchy. It's nice and short. It's very simple. The idea is, it's we've got to replace in people's minds the nationalism. We've got to replace the flag. We got to replace the national anthem. We need to focus on getting people to think New Hampshire. So I'm ordering 200 of the 4x6-inch New Hampshire flags. So Alu is going to help pass those out. So we're going to have New Hampshire flags and New Hampshire national anthem for everybody in the crowd, basically. And that should be pretty fun. Plus, I'll be giving away gold packs.
Yeah, and you're planning to be there at the rally at 2, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So anyway, get ready to sing.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that around 2:30 or something. We're gonna sing the songs. Is that the idea at the rally?
That seems like a good time. It gives enough time for the crowd to, if there is a crowd, hopefully, to show up.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan to me. So.
Thanks for the link. You are muted, Marcus.
Oh, sorry. I just want to let everybody know, especially the rabbi, there is a documentarian going around. I posted the link. It's called awfullynice.com. They are making a full-fledged movie production quality documentary on secession movements. I did an interview with them for 2 hours 2 days ago. There's the link, awfullynice.com. The person that I met with was called Dana Ballout. She is an actual producer. So I said, hey, do you want me to give you guys contacts? And they go, no, we got it all figured out. But when I was doing the interview with them, I would mention names and they go, who's that? And I go, you guys said you knew all the people and you didn't need my help, but I mentioned people you never heard of them. So I don't know what that is. I definitely said I had contacts with New Hampshire and Texas. They could approach or Arizona if they wanted. So that's out there. She also might be coming to you. The rabbi, I made a big deal about you and that you are a sort of kingpin pulling everybody together and just a beautiful man with a great beard. So I put that out there.
You're giving them somebody to go after, right? That's the idea.
So, and I will, thanks, so Dana Ballout, yeah, with awfullynice.com. Also, I posted up some videos of National Divorce where you can see the topics in the media. So it's not about pursuing my own ego. It's really just these videos that cover the media very well. I also did an interview with Jeremy Zogby of Zogby Polling, where they talked about the breakdown of American faith in institutions. I mean, if you want to go do Americans back secession, okay, that's a debatable topic. But if you want to go do Americans have any sort of faith that their government works, that's not debatable. Pew Research has shown lowest faith in all American institutions or that America works since 1958. Since 1958, lowest faith amongst all Republicans and all Democrats in all branches of government. And the massive drop in support of the federal government did not start with Trump. It actually started the last year of George W. Bush's presidency, went throughout the Obama presidency and the Trump, and is now in the Biden presidency, which is four administrations. You can go to Pew Global Research and see Americans basically have 90% no faith in their government or that America works or that things are going well. Now, what do they want to do about that? That's another question. But I find that to be positive news, because the reason people are resisting this discussion that we're having about secession is fear of something new. It's not that things are working and it's great and this is a silly topic. It's that they're scared to even discuss an alternative. You know, the house is burning down. I've never lived outside of my house. Yeah, but your house is burning down. You should move. But I've never lived outside of my house. Yeah, but it's burning down. You're going to die staying in that. But I've never lived in another house, so I'm comfortable with this house. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, they're threatened. They're being threatened with, you know, execution effectively if they stand up and resist too. So if they leave their house, they also die. So it's I kind of see where they'd rather stay in their house and die than leave their house and die. Not that I would think that's the most logical thing to do, but it kind of, at least I can kind of see where they're coming from.
The Titanic sinking. And if you look at the stories of the Titanic, there were people on that ship when it was starting to go down going, it's going to be okay. That's documented. This is what humans do in a crisis. They don't act rationally. They don't. I mean, look at any major mass death event. Not people aren't acting rationally going, how do we handle this? They're like, oh, it'll be fine. Let's play some music. Hey, can we get some extra bottles of champagne? I mean, folks, that's a fact. So I think we're seeing that on a national scale.
Denial, common human response.
I mean, you can also look at the last few days of the Nazi regime when the Allies were closing in on them. The top Nazi generals were not looking at battle plans. They were drinking as much champagne as they possibly could and playing music really loudly. That's documented. When people face an existential crisis and they don't have an option and it's just bad, sometimes they don't think logically and go, well, let's get out of the burning house. Sometimes they're just so scared and they just go, I don't see fire. I mean, that's literally what humans do. This has been documented. I think we're in America now, and I think that's a great thing for us because we are the only people thinking logically. It's us. We're it. This small rebel band is the group of people who are actually going, that house is on fire. And I picture everybody else is going, nah, it's not that bad, bro. It's cool. And you're the only ones going, no, we're going to die. Eventually, people will start suffocating and getting burned alive, and then they're going to listen to us. Because if you look at the polling, it's not getting better. There's no unity in America. Americans do not have faith for the future. They don't think the economy is getting better. They don't think there's going to be unity. They don't think everything's coming together. They don't think that they're going to restore their national reputation. That was supposed to happen when Biden got elected 2 years ago. It didn't. Moment passed. The despair is only going up. So the trajectory is only going like this. There is absolutely no sign of it dipping down. Things in this topic are only going one way. And there's literally, I mean, look at Joe, look at Kamala. Do you really think they're going to turn the ship around with a JFK style moment like landing on the moon? They don't got what it takes.
Indeed. I think you're right. If I can ask Ian, just wondering what the discussion is. I don't have the opportunity to listen to the show. But is this a discussion you're hearing on Free Talk Live?
Well, I mean, we bring it up very often. So it's not that, you know, we have an unusual amount of callers about the subject. It's definitely a common topic on the show just because of the host's interest. So hard to get a measurement on that. But, you know, we love it. And so we're spreading the word. You know, most people don't call talk radio, they just listen to it. So people are definitely listening to said discussions.
Okay. Welcome, Alu.
Alu, what's up?
Marcus, what's up? Miss you.
Miss you, bro.
Come visit New Hampshire, you fat old bastard.
You're looking swell, bro.
Thank you.
You're going to have to lift one day.
Hell yeah.
Alu, there's a documentarian going around trying to interview everybody about secession. I just posted the links. Her name is Dana Ballout. That's her IMDb page. So you can see she's a legitimate producer. And the company's called awfullynice.com. They didn't want me to really send them people, but they also weren't aware of a lot of the players. So I'm gently telling you all, they may be reaching out to you and they're trying to document it.
Okay, cool. What else did I miss?
A little talk about the press conference rally hearing on Thursday. I guess I have not made contact with other speakers for the event so far. It's you and I.
Is anyone else coming?
Like I said, I've been doing mostly phone tag because you know, you're on the phone with someone and you miss another, and that's the way it generally runs. But I can't say for sure right now.
Do you want me to help, like, text and call the others?
I guess that one of them left me a message, said that they heard something. I don't know if it was from you or from someone else, but I guess it doesn't hurt to reach out.
Okay.
Yeah, and if anyone has some, if they're too busy and they want to do something and they want to delegate it to me, I might be able to do it. I won't do just anything and everything, but email me at ridleyreport@live.com if you're swamped and you need me to try to do something electronic.
Thank you, Dave.
So I had indicated, unless anyone else has any more NH exit news or announcements or whatnot, I'd indicated that I'd give Marcus a chance to kind of update us on where these guys stand or where Cal exit stands after we're done talking NH exit stuff. So unless we have anything else, I could turn it over to Marcus for a while.
Mike, did we get a chance to see the long document of the press conference? I wrote down a lot of notes of things that potentially we could say if you or I or anyone wants to.
Where would I find that?
I probably shared the Google Doc with you by email.
Okay.
I shared it with everyone. So it's like a lot of stuff that we could say. Obviously, if I get a chance to talk for only 3 minutes, then I won't be able to say it all, which is fine. But if
Father, you, that's if, so not true.
What?
Yeah.
Your dad slams you right there pretty hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a good one, Rabbi.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton to say, but I mean, the press conference, we should keep it like pretty official and stuff. And then in the hearing, we could say a lot more, obviously. That's what I figure. But obviously, Mike, obviously, I want your feedback because you've done more press conferences and hearing testimony than I have. So I just wrote down the doc just to get like, a lot of thoughts on paper. And then we can go from there and see who wants to say what at the press conference.
You know, another weak link in the chain with most press conferences is there's nothing to photograph. It's really boring. It's just some people standing around. So my recommendation would be take that, just get a good picture and hold it up. And I think the best picture is that Iraqi prisoner being tortured. You know, we've all seen the one being electrocuted where he's got the hood on. Just hold up that picture. That would be my recommendation. And make, you know, bigger the picture is, the better. That might make the news conference visual. I could be going over the top, but that's my instinct.
We might have some New Hampshire flags too at the rally. That might work too.
100%.
Yeah, I think we got two parties here bringing them flags. So,
good idea.
Okay. Ian, do you guys have any more of the flyers for NH Independence? I do have some more, maybe 100 or 200 more, but I'm almost all out.
Yeah, I have thousands more.
Oh, awesome. So you'll bring some?
Yeah, sure. Speaking of the press conference, I know, if I recall correctly, there's an American flag, I think, nearby to that area. So can we move that flag out of the out of the press conference area?
I can do my best. yes, I will be doing my best to not have that in the shot.
Or I will have brought, I ordered, hopefully they'll arrive on time, but I ordered a couple of 3x5 foot New Hampshire flags. Worst case, we could have a couple people, you know, stretching out the New Hampshire flag and just kind of stand in front of the flag.
That would be a very strong message, and it'll offend some people, but I love it.
The authoritarians will lose their minds. That'll be great.
Oh, I would say it would separate the men from the boys, but I can't say that anymore.
You know what would be great is if we can get people doing it with the American. So the video's got American flag and people are giving the conference, but as that's going on, unroll the flag while the conference is going on. So it's kind of like we're replacing America with New Hampshire.
I was gonna say like we should remove the flag and replace that American flag with the New Hampshire flag on that pole, but then they'll call it an insurrection and we'll all go to prison forever.
Yeah. I think it's something during the actual press conference, if we can pull that off, I think it would be great video.
I do think we should do something like that, yeah.
Well, Ian's going to be having a camera there so he can pick the right angle.
And most likely, it seems like Mike Sinello, who's back in Connecticut, he's part of the Liberty Block team for a while. He's our AV audio video producer guy. He has a pretty good camera, I think, and microphones. He'll be driving up from Connecticut. Around 90% chance he'll be here Thursday, and he'll have hopefully a big video camera, microphones, and he'll be covering the press conference and the whole rally too, I believe.
Awesome. There's definitely going to be a lot of video of this.
You know, if you have plenty of videographers, another thing you can do is, you know, what happens when you have four videographers who aren't really all professionals is they all film the same thing. So what you want to do is kind of develop some degree of division of labor or whatnot. And sometimes the reaction is more interesting than the action. And, you know, ready to get the people who lose their minds. Those are the people that will make the video.
Yeah, let's make sure Ian and Mike Sinello coordinate. They'll both be there. Let's make sure they coordinate and both get different shots. Yeah,
I'll have a camera too, a pretty good one. So maybe I have three cameras. I'm sure we can get the audience as well.
Awesome.
Okay, I see Marcus is going to be cutting out shortly. Anything we need to know about CalExit?
Well, you are all welcome to our meeting. I just posted the StreamYard link. We're literally going to have our meeting in 11 minutes. You don't have to go. We're going to record it. We're going to post it. So if you're busy, you can watch what we're doing. But this Sunday and going up to January 30th. So we're going to have three meetings this month, every Sunday at 11. So every Sunday about now. We're going to have one now, one next week, and the third one at the end of January is going to be where we hold elections. So we are holding elections and reinstalling new officers and getting back on our feet by the end of this month. That's done. That's out on email. It's also out on social media. Today's our first meeting where we're going to document that. If you want to see how we're talking about it, where we're going to lay out everything, you can come and watch live. You can ask questions. We always love you guys. We love having guests. You know that. Or you can just watch it afterwards and I'll send it out. But we are getting back on our feet. I've really been leaning on Jason. He's an excellent officer. He doesn't have the same smooth, polished experience I have. But he's got a good heart and a lot of experience. And he's dedicated. And again, this Sunday, next Sunday, and finally elections on January 30th. We expect to be fully constituted by the beginning of February. And you can watch that if you like. Or you can watch National Divorce Raw with Mark Ruiz Evans, me, on my channel. I cover everything the media is saying about us and how the trajectory is talking about. So if you're looking for the sources of what I'm talking about or how the language is changing and things, just go to my channel. I posted some of the links there. We are coming back. And again, I have to repeat. I know, you know, I've kind of been out a little bit, but this is the best time for us. 2 years ago, they laughed at you when you said national divorce or peaceful separation. We have a sitting Congress member talking about it. We have other people talking about it. We have a state in New Hampshire where the representatives are pursuing it through the proper legal channels. We have another state, Texas, where they're pursuing it through the proper legal channels. And here in California, we also filed it through the proper legal channels three times to get the initiative. So more people are talking about it. The news is talking about it. More high-profile people are talking about it. And we have more states actually pursuing it. And all of that is in the last year. and there has never been that level of activity since 1860. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but folks, let's look at the statistics. They haven't been normalizing this conversation since 1860 to the degree that we've seen in the last 13 months. And no one has a plan on how to bring America back together. Joe Biden was supposed to unify the country. He didn't. And the left hates the right. And the right hates the left. And there are very few people saying, hey, let's learn what the other side's saying. They're fellow Americans. Maybe they have a good point. That's not what they're saying. Look at how they talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. You are a treasonous enemy of the state and a bad person as bad as ISIS. And you're crazy. There's no talk about maybe she represents her people. Maybe she's speaking for them. Maybe actual Americans believe this and we should get to know them. Bad, crazy, wrong, destructive for America. That's the only way you're allowed to speak about this on the left. So trajectories this way, nobody is talking about the way to straighten that out, which would be we get over ourselves and start saying, this is a fellow American. I see commonality with them and I want to get to know them. That talk ain't out there and it ain't encouraged. And you can't talk like that on either side. So it's bad and it's going to get worse. And there's absolutely no sign of the trajectory slowing down or easing up.
Liberty Forum, we'll see you. Daniel Miller is probably 85% chance he'll be there. As far as I'm concerned, you're welcome there no matter what.
Okay. I will say that at the press conference, I like that word, proper legal channels. We got to emphasize that. Because the media is constantly, you know, attacking us for basically saying it can't be done. You know, it's you know, we decided this during the Civil War. And, well, the reality is what the courts ruled was not that it was illegal. They ruled something to the effect of the way it, when it was gone about, was not illegal. So we're now doing the proper legal channels, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
Let me put in one little pushback on the left versus right thing. You know, if you look at some of the folks that are on the left, RFK Jr. Is certainly not supporting the narrative of the Fauci types. I watched the High Wire. Mickey Willis was a big supporter of Bernie Sanders, doing a video on that on his 2016 tour, came to see the light. He's done videos about Rittenhouse and some of the other things that are, you know, the Sandman kid uncovered the lies that the narrative is being sold as. Mark Crispin Miller, NYU professor teaching propaganda, was attacked by the cancel culture. There's a lot of people on the left that are running into their own, and certainly, you know, a lot of doctors in the whole, you know, COVID narrative. It's not just left and right, so let's not entirely put it to that. That's what they, you know, that's what the folks in DC would like. You know, they love a 50-50 split, and they get to rule that way. So,
I mean, I hear you, and that's true, but, you know, in California, nobody wants to hear that. I'm out here and it's, that's just what it is. And if you're that, you're a horrible person. And if you look at Fox and Newsmax versus CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, and CBS, that narrative is there. Certainly not everybody feels that way. Hey, I'm liberal and I love you guys. Right. And I know the media lies. So I'm here, I exist. But if we're looking at the national discussion and we're looking at New York City and Chicago and California, maybe it's not right, but I would argue people are there.
Maybe we need to get some Democrats and Republicans both speaking at the press conference.
Do you know any good Democrats in New Hampshire who are open to this stuff?
I mean, don't we have some Libertarians that are running as Democrats? Can't we use some of them?
There's no one that I know of, no.
I'm not sure who, but...
I mean, someone could reach out to Amanda Bolden. I don't know her. I don't know her.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Chris. It's just I don't know how to make it happen. I don't know anyone who knows how to make it happen.
What I was saying, we've been saying for a few months now, is next year the CACR, I would love for it to be bipartisan, get a few Democrats to co-sign it. if we can find some, and we'll have, you know, a few months or a year to do that. But for right now, I don't know any Democrats. I called Melissa Blasek and a few friends and asked if they know any Democrats in the House they're friendly with. Melissa said there was one, but she died. So
I'm going to roll, guys. Please join our meeting. Love you all. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, right, Marcus. Thanks, Marcus. Thanks.
Have a nice day.
All right, I'm going to go to Marcus's meeting. Can I just say one quick thing? Marcus started off this meeting when he showed up by saying he liked superheroes from Marvel Comics. So I just want to say my superhero is Mike Sylvia.
I second that.
What you're doing takes you know what, so thank you.
Well, I don't do anything unless I have the backing, and obviously I'm just the guy that wears the suit. And
you know, the one taking the arrows.
Yeah, that's okay. I can do that.
Thank you.
That was the crowd.
Okay. Take care, guys.
See you later. Enjoy Cal Exit.
All right. I guess that'll wrap it for today.
Mike, can you please look at that document and let me know if you can't find it or something?
Yeah, shoot me the link again, because didn't see it right off the bat.
Is email okay? The Mike Sylvia at Mike Sylvia?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll email to you again. And I've emailed it probably to everyone else here. I'm sure I included Ian. I'll include the rest of you guys in the email. It's just a lot of stuff. And hopefully, like, if we each get a few minutes, we can each say our important parts. I want to say it all, but there are certain important points I want to hit. Like, give us the chance to vote, and it's been 240 years and all that stuff. But if there are certain things everyone else wants to say, then obviously say whatever. Awesome.
You know, if there were one or two sentences in there talking about how this is constitutional, would probably be useful. That, because it gives the reps sort of the makes them feel more comfortable voting for it.
I want the fee. I understand that, and I agree. I want feedback from the rest of you guys, because a part of me thinks, 50% of me thinks, that we should be appealing to the constitutional, conservatives, legal, all proper legal channels, crap, so that the reps can have some cover and their constituents don't kill them. But another part of me thinks, why do we keep appealing to the legal, proper legal process, crap channels? Because the whole thing is that we don't want to appeal to the gods in DC and the 9 black-robed idiots. So you know what I mean? I don't want to appeal to their authority. I want to delegitimize it. But I also think that we should say this is constitutional, proper legal channels. What do you guys think? I see both ways.
Well, it's constitutional from the New Hampshire Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution doesn't address leaving, which, you know, I think you made this argument, Alu, that means that they don't control it. So it's the New Hampshire Constitution.
The New Hampshire Constitution predates the U.S. Constitution, right? I don't see how the U.S. Constitution can override the New Hampshire Constitution.
So in the press conference, we can totally say this is constitutional, doesn't violate the Constitution. And if we mention that, you guys wouldn't call us statists.
I think it's important. This whole thing is a constitutional process. We're doing a constitutional amendment. And the Constitution in Article 7 and Article 10 makes it clear that we have the right to do these things.
And since when were the enemies of this all about the Constitution?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll add that to the document.
They are subverting the Constitution. Certainly, DC does not follow the instructions it was given by the states that created it. And a lot of the things they're doing were never delegated to them by New Hampshire. For sure, it's, you know, the stuff that you know, you look at Part First, Article 7 of the New Hampshire Constitution. It tells you exactly what powers are being delegated, and they are way past what powers they are authorized. So, the DC has violated its agreement. So, this is the step that spares us from violent insurrection and anything like that. It's time to do this. It's time to get real about the violation of the Constitution.
Well, I like the way you're framing that too. Spares us from a violent revolution, because again, they constantly are saying that this is, you know, they're suggesting that it's some sort of violent revolution, and it's not.
Right. Well, I mean, look at what they're making of January 6th is insane.
Right.
But, you know, they like a narrative and they like to roll with it. Well, now they need to pay attention before they get the real thing. And, you know, the stupidness that comes out of DC is just unbelievable.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm adding that to the doc right now.
I don't think there's any reason to downplay the Constitution stuff and the legality when the process we're doing right now is that. There'll be plenty of time for Alu to rant and rave and people like me to try to change their minds on other subjects when, you know, because we're going to have to change people's hearts and minds, but at this point, it's nice to do it their system, their way, you know, and just keep doing that for a while.
All right, guys, I think I've got to get out, so I'll be in touch, and we'll have a lineup for the press conference and be ready to go, and hopefully we have a good turnout.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Take care, folks.
Thanks, guys. God bless you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
What are you arresting this man for?
You've seen the dramatic liberty arrests in Keene, New Hampshire. Now see 111 reasons why you should move there and reinforce these gutsy activists. Keene's advantages are compelling, and the list of reasons to move has just been updated. For details, visit freekeene.com.